folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Cosentino here, doing Democratic Perspective on a Veterans Day with his Veterans for Peace hat on. If you could see me, you can go on to Facebook and see me with my Veterans for Peace hat on, organization I belong to. Veterans Day gets a lot of crap, I think, is the word I'm looking for. Yes, in radio here, we look for just the right word. And as someone who served, I served in the U.S. Air Force. I served in the Army. I spent 9 years during the Vietnam era. I think if veterans, if you want to do something for veterans, don't make so many veterans. Don't make so many foreign war veterans. The question I want to ask yourself this morning. We're gonna kind of leave it in. Are Americans a warrior race? Are we a warrior culture? We have been at war, I don't have the source for this, but all but 13 years of our history, we have been in some kind of war. So I don't need a PhD in history or psychology to say any people that have done that is a warrior race. We are a warrior race. We are a warrior culture. Look at our toys. Look at our games. Look at what we do. Look at what we tell our children. So if you're happy about the USA being a warrior race, then great. And if you're not, then you might want to look for some representation that has a different idea of how to go about our role in the world. It's Veterans Day. I want to salute my fellow veterans. There are a myriad of things that we can talk about when it comes to serving and having served, but that's not the subject of our show this morning. The subject of Democratic Perspective is Delina DeSanto is here. She is candidate for Congressional District 4, so we're going to talk, and that's the one that Cottonwood is in. Gets a little complicated. We're sitting in Sedona, which is in Congressional District 1, and Cottonwood and much of where this broadcast goes to is Congressional District 4, which is why we asked Delina to be on the show. She was in Cottonwood last week and just gave a brilliant speech at the Red Rooster to a small but very enthusiastic group of Democrats and a couple independents. So, and we're going to have her back sometime in the next, at least before the primary. So please look for her if you want to actually meet her, want to see her. Come to a meeting at the Red Rooster. We meet on the third Tuesdays, but we'll talk about that again later. Right now we want to say good morning to Delina DeSanto. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Mike, and thank you for inviting me here this morning. I really appreciate you inviting me here. I do want to speak out to the people of Cottonwood. But first off, I do want to reach out to the veterans this morning. I come from a military family. My dad was in the military. My uncles were in the military, Navy, Air Force, Army. So I do want to reach out, say happy Veterans Day to everyone. And please, please have a great day and also support the families. The families are also the ones that are making huge sacrifices for our veterans and for their families. So please also support the families.
An excellent point. They often pay as big a price, if not more, than those that serve. So
yes.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Yeah, and thank you for saying happy Veterans Day. I got a little wound up, on the negative side, but my service was very good for me in many, many ways, and certainly people would say that.
Right, and I've seen the effects of the people that have come back from the Vietnam War. You know, my brother's friends that were in there, and the effects that had happened to them. So I can understand that sometimes saying Happy Veterans Day is a tough thing to say to some people. But just know that there are, I will support you 100% veterans, and the military, because I believe in you, and they are heroes.
Thank you. So. Much unlike the incumbent, your competition in the office that you're seeking, Paul Gosar, if it was, if we weren't on radio, I would say, and we were in the service, I would have names. They would all begin with crazy, and they would end with some sort of. We have a lunatic, in office, CD4. And how do I know this? I have met him. I've been to his office, but that doesn't mean anything. His family said he was crazy. I'm 6 out of 9 of his siblings said, please get this guy out of office. I'm going back to the last election cycle. So, and obviously we want to talk about what Delina DeSanto wants to talk about as a candidate for CD4, and we're going to get to that. But right now, my cousin Tino here on Democratic Perspective is a little, politics is crazy, especially now. But to have a guy in office that where his family says, please get him out of office because he's nuts. Right. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with him. And yet, and they said this election, they said last election cycle or this election cycle is what they said. So to that end, we're going to tell you a little bit about the candidate in this election cycle that's running against Paul Gosar in CD4. What's going on?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself.
Please.
I was a home builder with my husband, a home building business for about 35 years. And also, I am was a financial director of hospitals.
Oh.
And then I'm also a registered nurse. And I also worked for U.S., now retired, U.S. Senator Ben Neidhorst Campbell in Colorado. And so I know a lot about legislation. And I think that's what's going to help me bring a lot of my experiences to the office, because I know what people have gone through with their health care.
Yeah.
I know how to negotiate when it comes to contracts and with other people. I've negotiated being in the home building business with cities and counties and commissioners and lawyers, and then also as a financial director. I was, negotiating contracts for insurance companies for the hospital. I helped on those task committees to make sure that we were getting the better reimbursement that was needed for the hospital. And these were pretty much small rural hospitals also. So I know the struggles that these rural hospitals are going through.
Real important. That's one of the things his family said since I've been on that this morning. They said his extremist views on health care.
Yes.
Especially as, I guess we don't think of dentists as being in the forefront of health care, but they are health providers.
Oh, yes.
But his extremist views on health care and immigration, we'll get to immigration a little later. Those were a couple of the reasons, and it's great to know that you got a health care background.
Right. Well, he also voted against the Affordable Care Act, okay, the ACA. But also in this recently, he voted against pre-existing conditions in that bill. And so that is, we fought so hard to get that. Right. And how many people, and still today, they're still struggling because of these high deductibles and high co-insurances that they have.
Right.
So I've seen people where they've lost homes, and people have given up their cancer treatments because of the cost of this, and people have died, and I have seen that. And this cannot continue. And for him to vote against it, a vote against the people of his district that are, to be honest with you, I just want to point out a very important statistic. Congressional District 4 in Arizona is 9th out of 102, so they're in the bottom 10% of household income.
Wow.
So he is not fighting for jobs. He is not fighting for people's health care. He is not fighting for public schools to have better public school systems. And this angers me tremendously. And this is why I am running against him, because he's doing nothing in regards to that. And it has to stop. With the people of this district need a better representation to be able to fight for them, because we can bring in jobs here and have better health care here, especially in the rural areas.
I like to think that. I like to think that companies and workers want to locate here.
Yes.
And not only relocate, there's plenty of people that could use some jobs right here.
Yes.
That's great. So just out of let me put you on the spot, Delina. Sure. We're talking to Delina DeSanto, a candidate for CD4. What got any ideas about jobs?
Yes. So right now I heard in Pinal County there is a hydrogen company coming in to bring in hydrogen jobs. So hydrogen engines, I believe it, what it is.
Oh.
So I just heard about it. So I'm going to be learning more about that. And then also with solar and wind, we have plenty of sun and wind here in this district and in this state.
For sure.
And it's not just building these units. It's also you're looking at transportation, because they're going to be transporting these across the country. You're also going to need electricians. You're going to need plumbers. You're going to need technicians. And you're going to need maintenance people. So that is going to create so many jobs. So many people say, well, you know, yeah, they're just going to be producing them, but you're still going to need to build them. You're still going to need to have the electricity and plumbing and everything. So you're going to be creating a lot of jobs, and that's what I want to fight for here, because we can do that.
Well, it's solar for sure. The hydrogen thing is that's good news. Give us a little more. And it's difficult on radio. Pull out your map and show us show us what CD. What are the major communities in CD4?
Sure. CD4 makes up 33,000 square miles.
Wow.
And so I will start up in Colorado City on the border of Utah. And it goes down to Kingman, down to Bullhead City, down to Lake Havasu City, down to the north part of Yuma, up towards Buckeye, over to a little bit of Peoria, comes across over to Apache Junction, Santan Valley, heads up to Payson, over to Prescott, then up towards Kingman again to Colorado City.
Now, I know I was in on the redistricting when CD4 was formed, in on it being at least going to the meetings and listening to all the rationale and that sort of thing, the redistricting committee. And they wanted to form a rural district.
Uh-huh.
They felt as the priorities of what to form, of how to form voting districts, the priorities that they got from the people, by the way, it was more important to have their ruralness as opposed to their urbanness recognized by the voting districts than it was closeness or anything else. That was there were six priorities, being having a rural district or two.
Right.
Was more important to voters, and so that's what the redistricting commission did. A lot of people blame the redistricting commission for your gas bill or whatever. You know how difficult it is
It is. I don't mind the drive. It is a long drives. When I worked for U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell in Colorado, he had the whole state. And so to be able to from Denver to Grand Junction, down to Durango where I lived, and then, you know, up towards, Colorado Springs and Pueblo. So I did not mind the drive. So for me to drive around this district, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
You know, I mean, you drive around and you just see the mountains and Joshua Tree and the Colorado River, and I mean, you know, you're just seeing all these beautiful sights, and that's why it is a great place to live.
So much of western Arizona is your district.
Yes, that's the major part. Yes, the
major part. Uh-huh. Okay, but you have a little, you know, they dipped into the cities a little bit, you know, Peoria and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. I have just a couple of little cities in the Maricopa County. And it looks almost like a horseshoe down there. So it kind of goes up to Peoria, Wickenburg, kind of, you know, flips around over towards Apache Junction. So,
what are our issues, Delina?
We have several issues that are not being addressed, and most of it is jobs and people. Once they turn 62, we have the highest population of people who are retiring at 62 or can't find a job even in their 60s.
Right.
And so they're taking Social Security early.
Right.
And that's a big hit for them to take it that early. And that concerns me because they can't find a job that pays enough money for them to even be able to live. And so they're taking their Social Security early.
You know, we had Tim Alinsky in that seat. Let me interrupt. The mayor of Cottonwood. And we asked him a question. And that was, what is the biggest problem? What is the biggest, if you could solve one problem in Cottonwood in the Verde Valley, and he surprised us all by saying poverty.
Right.
And the fact that he even recognized it. In other words, I think politicians shine poverty on because it's just too difficult. It's too thorny an issue to, and it's not positive. So talking about poor people, you know, isn't necessarily a positive thing. I guess. I don't know. I'm
troubled. Well, let me tell you a story of a woman in Lake Havasu City. Her and her husband, 25 years ago, wanted to kind of retire right by the lake and be able to live in a trailer that they had bought. And so here they are, loving life in Lake Havasu City.
There you go.
And so
living the dream.
Living the dream. And then all of a sudden, her husband got very sick and passed away. And so now she is on Medicare and Social Security, but her Social Security check is only $900 a month.
Yep.
Her medication bills are $600 a month. And the trailer that they had bought to live in and be happy in is now falling apart. Now, how can a woman who's making $900 a month have a $600 medical bill just for her medical costs,
right,
and then be able to live? I mean, food, transportation, her co-insurances. She makes a little too much to be on Medicaid.
Oh.
And so her daughter helps her a little bit. But these are the stories that I'm hearing
right
every time I'm going around, is that it's poor. We do have poverty here, and there's no help. There's no base to be able to help her. And so we kind of helped her get into some of the social services that are there, and they're looking at Meals on Wheels, and they're looking at other things. But those programs have also been cut.
They have.
You know, so it's we're in a desperate need, to be honest with you. I was up in Kingman, and I talked to a woman, a young lady who came from Utah. She was making about $42,000 a year as a teacher. She came down to Kingman to be with her mom because her mom's sick, and she has a young child. And she took a school job in Kingman, and she's making less than $30,000. I think it's around 28, but less than $30,000.
Right.
And she said it's horrible, the salaries that these teachers are getting, plus the schools are falling apart.
Just in case you want to know, $28,000 a year is about $14 an hour, folks.
Right.
It's less than minimum wage in many cities lately, and might be less than the federal minimum wage if the House has its way. But
right,
the point is, $28,000, I don't know if it sounds like a lot, it doesn't. It's 14 bucks an hour.
Exactly. And we have to work on those kind of issues, because what we're doing is we're creating more poverty. And then the public schools are not getting the funding that they need.
Right.
And Betsy DeVos has cut so much of the public school funding. And so it's just a spiraling down that we're having, and it cannot continue. Our children need to have an education, because they're losing what we call the STEM, the science, you know, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And those are the core courses that we need to start if we're going to be competitive later on in generations to come, not just in our own country, but across the world. We have to have a better education. And so if we don't, we're creating more poverty. How are they going to rise above it? And when I look at the opioid crisis that Kingman has, they have a huge opioid crisis. But so do we across the nation. We do. But we have to address that also, because that's going to incur a lot more costs later on, too, healthcare-wise. So let's address it now. Right. And Paul Gosar is not doing that. He's not addressing any of these issues. He only wants to have the issues of the energy companies. He wants to drill or mine in the Grand Canyon. And so what he wants to do is bring these energy companies in here. And we cannot allow that to happen. And the reason being is uranium now, the cost of uranium has increased in price. And so that's why the energy companies want to now drill. But we have mining, uranium mines across our whole nation right now. Yes, we do have a nice pocket of uranium in the Grand Canyon, but we don't have to go for that.
Yeah, that would be my question. Do we have to mine uranium in the national treasure that Arizona is custodian of, quite frankly?
Yes.
And did a judge just pass a...
Somebody had told me the other day, and I have not read up on it, but
okay,
that they said there's going to be absolutely no mining or drilling in the Grand Canyon.
At least one judge said so. We know
yes.
that. Yeah. That.
But who knows? They got the money. The energy companies have the money. Yeah. They can just move on up the courts. But we don't need to allow that. We have enough uranium for right now for what our needs are as a country. We have enough mines in this country.
Let me phrase this the way I want to phrase it. So the representative of our district wants to take our state treasurer mm-hmm. and mine uranium, allow uranium mining,
right.
which will, in essence, make it dangerous. We're talking millions in I want to say tens of millions, but millions and millions of visitors a year.
Right.
The lifeblood, in some ways, of northern Arizona, and he wants to destroy it with uranium mining. Just,
yes.
This does not... Okay.
It's going to create jobs. Right? It's going to create jobs. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I know that energy companies bring in their own crews.
That's right.
They don't bring jobs. They may need temporary helpers, but it is not going to be jobs, jobs, jobs. I'm sorry. When he talks about that and he says it brings in jobs, he's lying. Or he is naive to the point where he doesn't know, because they bring in their own crews.
Let's talk about lying. I like to use that word when I think of Republicans in office, because it's how they get in office. Uh-huh. You know, Gosar camp, and it seems like such a simple technique, Delina, but it works so well.
Yes.
In case you're just tuning in, we're talking to Delina DeSanto. This is our candidate for CD4. And one of our candidates to run against Paul Gosar, the liar.
Yeah.
He talked about all the things he was going to do for education. Nothing. He talked about jobs. Nothing. And then the jobs he is talking about, we're talking about destructive jobs like uranium mining in the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And that's what they do. So they get their article in the Verde Independent. They get their canned article in the Payson Roundup. Or the Peoria Evening News, and it's all lies, and they get elected because there's an R after their name. How are you going to get elected, Delina?
How am I going to get elected? I'm going to call Paul Gosar out, okay, on everything that he is doing or saying or has promised, and he has not done it. I'm calling him out because his district is actually, like I said, one of the poorest districts out of 102 districts in the western United States. We're in the bottom. We're ninth out of 102. That is insane. That just proves to me he's not helping his district at all. And so I will call him out on this, and I will promise the people that I will be there for them. I will fight for that. We can get funding, especially like our infrastructure. There's no reason why we're not having an infrastructure bill passed in Congress right now. That would create thousands and thousands of jobs here in this district, not just, I mean, you're talking about millions of jobs across the country. And so he's not even working for that. And so I will promise the people that I will work hard as hell to make sure that I am there for them and that I will work for them, because he is not doing anything of that. He's working for the energy companies, and I'm not against energy companies. We need them for what we have right now, and we totally do. And there are some good energy companies really looking at solar and energy. I'm not going to disparage them in any way. However, we have to look at the future. We have to look at what our future is. He's not doing anything about climate change. The climate is changing. And he is not working to make this a better district or country. And so this is why I will work hard for people. He doesn't do any townhome meetings. I mean, how are people going to be able to tell them how they feel and what they're going through when he doesn't have them? And if he does have a town hall meeting, they're coordinated. There are only certain people that are allowed to be in that town hall meeting.
They're staged.
And so, I will have town hall meetings. Yeah. I had town hall meetings for the senator in Colorado. I loved it. And yes, you're going to have people that are going to yell at you or be angry at you. That's okay. That's because they're passionate and they're feeling something. Yeah. And I don't mind that. I don't mind when somebody's really, really angry and disagree with me. That's fine. I don't mind having a conversation to be able to do that. And that's how I'm going to win, because I'm going to get around this 33,000 square mile district, and I'm going to talk to people as I did last year when I was running in the primary and lost by less than 5%. So people know me. I have the name recognition, and now I'm just going to get out there and start listening to people and be able to fight for them. I will fight for them.
Let me draw a line under those two things, that you have the government experience in Colorado, because I hear people ask that question, and it does matter. As much as people want non-politicians, the second question out of their mouth is, well, can't she do the job? And so you have the government experience. You know how these things work.
Yes.
Two things happen, by this is another side point. Two things happen when you go, whatever, either you get so disenchanted with the whole process, you go and farm goats or something for a living. Or you get into it. You say, I can fix this. I can do this.
That's right.
So you have that experience, and you ran last time.
Right.
In this district.
Yes, I did.
And that gives you a whole feeling for who we are, I like to think.
Yes.
And what it can be. A political observer of Northern Arizona, I hear a difference in the DeSanto campaign that is encouraging. Between last time and this time, you were, I want to say, tentative. You're a vital woman that knows where she's going. So you were never, not forceful. But certainly it's a breath of fresh air to have you on the campaign trail this time. I think it's going well. On the way in this morning, I thought, how can you get Gosar to a debate, to a discussion? Is there any way he'll show up?
I think the best way to get Paul Gosar to a debate is to challenge him. That he has to come, and then, but also challenge the area, the parties, to be able to say, hey, look, you need to be able to debate Delina, and to be able to tell Paul that he has to debate me. You need to be able to say to him, look, she is already attacking you, and this is why I want to start being able to call him out now. Start showing people that I am going to be there for them, and that if he doesn't debate me, then what is he hiding? Why can't he debate me?
Yeah, I don't think you're attacking him so much. It's just simply stating his record. I'm not sure that's an
attack. That's true.
And they would see that as an attack, because you're telling the truth.
Right.
If you're not lying for him, then, they've changed the conversation so much. Here you are And I understand why you're using the terms, but you're attacking him, no. You're stating his record.
Right.
And simply by telling the truth, and they consider that an attack. That's the twisted political situation we find ourselves in.
Right, and that's what I mean by calling him out, though,
I
really.
Understand.
Yeah, and so, I mean, even though I say the word attack, I mean calling him out, because everything that he says and does, I will call him out. But the other thing, too, is I would love to go to Washington, D.C. with a little film crew and say and if he doesn't want to debate me, and go to his office and follow him around and say, Paul, why don't you debate me? Come on, Paul, why don't you come and debate me?
Yeah.
You know, if you know your constituents as well as you say you do, then debate me.
That's good.
Tell me that I'm wrong in what the people that I'm talking to right now are lying to me. So go ahead and come on, Paul, you come and talk to me and tell me what you're seeing and tell me what it is that you're going to do for the people, because you have done absolutely nothing for them.
That's good. I wish you luck. I thought of having a stand in, holding a debate, and you can just have somebody tell his lies.
Exactly.
And, hire an actor or someone, or as far as get that bottle to sit in. Because then all of a sudden you sound like Clint Eastwood talking to the chair.
To the chair.
But the idea is that once you put these ideas side by side, once you put, in my mind anyway, or any reasonable mind, you put Delina DelSanto and Paul Gosar side by side, and then it's clear. This is the name of the show is Democratic Perspective. This is not journalism. I have to announce this. I don't pretend nonpartisanship here. That's why we do what we do. But put Gosar, the current incumbent, and the challenger here, Delina DeSanto, side by side. And then there is no race. I mean, you win by a landslide, or at least by thousands of votes.
And that's the thing is I think putting me and Paul together and me just talking about the issues, I don't have to yell at him or attack him in any way. I will just talk about the issues that he is not addressing and why he's hurting the people of his district. On every vote that he does, he's hurting the people of this district. So be able to just say that, so that people can hear it. And let him try to tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm lying. Because I'll tell you right now, I know what he's doing to the people. I see it. I hear it. And he needs to get out. He's making this district worse. And it has to stop.
So you lost by 5% last time.
Yes,
less
than 5%. Yes.
How are you going to get that 5%?
How am I going to? Well, okay. I started very late. In that campaign last year, in 2018, when I ran against David Brill. And so I started very late. And so I went from meeting to meeting to district and talked to people. And that is the only reason why I lost by less than 5%. If I had started earlier, and if I was able to get the financing, the campaign financing that is so important for a race, it really is.
It really
and we could talk about that. But right now, that was the reason why I lost by less than 5%. I just couldn't get all the mailings out in time. But if I started a little early and I had the campaign financing, I would have beat David Brill.
It'd be a different story.
Yes.
Just to be clear here to folks that aren't political junkies like you and I are, he lost in the primary, and another candidate went on to face Paul Gosar, who's not running this cycle. But Delina's back. And we're glad to see her. Back with a vengeance. Yes, thank you. And thank you for coming back. It's and it is about R's and D's in Arizona still. People, but I think we have. I'm going to ask your opinion on this.
Sure.
I was going to say a purple state, but I think in. Let me go with purple. I was going to say blue. We have a purple state, and that's a combination, for those of you that don't know, of blue and red. But we're seen as a red state. We're seen as a deep red state.
Yeah, that's true.
And yet, I go down the streets. I look at the people I meet, and I see I see progressives. I see Democrats.
Yes.
I look at the municipal elections. I see progressives.
Yes.
I see independents. I see Democrats. What I don't see are conservative Republicans. I might find a moderate Republican or two in the restaurant. I saw in Old Town the other day, we're on camera, so the women sitting over here were collecting signatures for the Outlaw Dirty Money campaign. I saw a guy in a Trump shirt signing the petition, more than one.
Yes.
Now, he had his jacket on, and his Trump shirt was a little hard to see. But the point is, when it comes to campaign finance, when it comes to fair, trying to hold fair elections in the United States of America, it seems that the hardest thing we do. So talk about campaign finance for a minute.
It's horrible, and it's hurting our it's hurting our parties, okay? But it's hurting this country. We truly have, and we should call it what it is. It's dirty money. Those corporate PACs are. You do not know who is donating to the PACs, but and then also they're lobbying in Congress. So what's happening is all that money is going towards people who are going to vote their way. And so we need to stop that. When you have huge donors that are donating to these PACs, they want a specific thing. And I'm sorry, energy companies, but I'll choose you again. They're the ones who want to drill in the Grand Canyon. So they'll donate big money to these PACs so that they'll support people like Paul Gosar.
Right.
And so he's going to go ahead and vote their way because they're donating to him. But we don't know who they are, and that needs to stop. We need to know who's donating to candidates just so that there's no you'll know if they're tied to them in any way in regards to the to being energy or like drug companies. So if they're donating large amounts, and we're talking millions of dollars. I mean, hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars into these PACs.
Yeah.
And so it's swaying our elections.
Yeah.
And nobody knows who it is that's donating.
Not in the way of the people. So what's going on with Outlaw Dirty Money? This is Terry Goddard, former mayor of Phoenix, former attorney general of Arizona. He has sat in that seat many times, by the way, on his trips through Sedona. I believe he has some family here. And has come up to support many things, but he's proposing a constitutional amendment, and wisely so, to get around the Arizona legislature. Let's go straight to the Constitution and do exactly what Delino DeSanto just said. You want to give money? Fine. But we want to know who you are.
Right.
So, yeah, there's certain money limits, but I think the money limits are pretty high. But there are limits on the money, but even more importantly, the voters have the right to know who you are. The Arizona constitutional amendment trying to get on the ballot for 2020 is simple. It has certain number limits, but as far as I'm concerned, its main component is you got to tell us who you are. We have a right to know who's trying to buy our election.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it's make a difference. Arizona keeps APS keeps buying corporation commissioner seats, but that seems to keep happening. But you spend enough money, then the will of the people doesn't matter.
Exactly. And that's what's happening is money is buying seats. And people that want to run are getting crushed down. And those are the ones that have heart. Those are the ones that really want to help people. The candidates that are for the people care about the people. They see the struggles. And all of a sudden, you're getting these corporate PAC money in there, and they're getting money into these whoever's going to side with them, and that we need to stop that immediately. And it should be a constitutional thing, I think. in regards to having that dirty money out of politics. We should know it's a government by the people, for the people, not of the corporations. And so we should know who is donating to candidates. And if the candidates are siding with these big corporate PACs, then we need to vote them out. We need to get them out, and we need to get good people in there to be able to help them, because that's really what this our state's about. This is what our country's about, is we need to help the people of our and each other, not the corporations.
How's your message going over? You're traveling the state. You're speaking everywhere in CD4. How's it going?
It's going great. It really is. It's really going great. I just hired a consulting firm to kind of help me stay focused.
Cool.
Because, like I said last time, I was just, you know, I was in it with 5 months and running around. So I'm staying more focused. I'm getting my strength out. My what they call the Jersey out of me. I'm originally from New Jersey, and so, you know, I'm getting my Jersey out and just showing that, you know, I have the strength to be able to get around and talk to people, listen to people, and I'm just loving it. There and people are starting to see that I am I'm out there and I'm there for them.
Yeah, and that matters. It really does. Even in I think it's a whole different ball game in 2019 and 2020. When it comes to politics, I have this argument all the time, or at least this discussion, that anything you knew about politics because of social media, because of the lies,
and more lies.
And more lies. It's a different political world out there.
It is.
And so that, but if you show up, that means a lot.
Right.
I do want to mention that, once again, trying to have the I can't get off the lying thing. The please look for Delina coming to a town near you. We want to mention that we have she'll be in Cottonwood again.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when. She's for congressional district 4, running against Paul Gosar. Not hard to make that line, in my opinion. We want to remind you of our that this interview will be on VVID, certainly the Verde Valley Independent Democrats. We have this podcast and all our podcasts appear on that website. I did run a little fundraiser on Facebook. Some of you, and thank you. I have to do that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those people that have donated. I sit here and read the list of names: Luminous Antonio and Tony Dennis and all those people that donated to Democratic Perspective to help keep us on the air. Thank you. We want to make sure that you find our Yavapai Democratic Party Cottonwood Facebook page and find out about our meetings in Cottonwood. We are getting lots of interest. There's lots of anger, as there should be, about the madness in Washington, about the actions of our senators, and so please come if you feel like you want to do something about it. We have ways in which you can do something about it. We know how, as Delina DeSanto is taking a big responsibility by running for office. You can come and talk to her, and she'll maybe talk you into running in the next cycle. This is how we get better. This is how we solve the problem.
That's right.
But people like yourself. What do you got? Anything else that we?
Well, I would just like to reach out to everybody that if you would like to ever talk with me, email me, please go to my website at www.delinadesanto.com. And please, if you have an issue, you want to, like I said, talk about anything, please email me. I personally like to send the email back or even call you because I really do want to know what the issues are that are facing you because I'm out there talking with everybody, but you may have a different issue. And so please contact me.
Yes, go to the website, share your story. With Delina, she one of the most effective thing is telling stories around the country. Thanks, folks. Democratic Perspective will be on again next week. We will talk some more. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.